Back in 2003, I interviewed the founder of Bread, David Gates, and I asked him about his very first big hit song.
You wrote the song Popsicles and Icicles. 40 years later, why do you think that so many people still love it?
Well, I think it's the song itself. The chord changes are quite unique. It was the very first song to use the first four chords in sequence that you hear. The lyrics were kind of light but catchy and rememberable. The girls sang it well. The record had a nice bounce or feel to it. It seems to be able to be heard over and over again without wearing you out. And so it's been a real classic.
I am pleased to have on the phone with me two of the three girls who recorded that wonderful oldie from the 60s, Popsicles and Icicles, Terry Fisher and Carol Fisher, two of the three mermaids. Welcome aboard, Terry and Carol.
Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Ronnie. Good to be with you.
Didn't it make you feel special knowing that David Gates, who eventually would form a group called Bread and become so popular on his own, that was his first hit song?
Yeah, it really is. This is Terry, by the way. It does make us feel special. We had no idea what we were getting into back then. We were just little young kids. It was very special, especially to do one of his songs, and, you know, he became a big star after that, and we just had a good time doing it.
Just for a little bit of background, the two of you are sisters, obviously, and the two of you were from what area of California?
We grew up in the San Fernando Valley in the part of the valley called Sherman Oaks, so we are Valley Girls, Sherman Oaks, California.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Totally, right. And that's it. We still live in the valley. We're still
haven't
here.
Haven't moved far.
You mean you've basically lived in the same place for all your life, pretty much?
Pretty much. Well, no, I did. This is Carol. I've stayed in Los Angeles my whole life. Terry's moved around a lot.
Your mom and dad were very much into show business. Please tell me a little bit about them.
Well, actually, we go back three generations. We had grandparents who were in the business and great aunts who were in the business. They had a fairly popular vaudeville act. And then mother was a first girl singer with Stan Kenton. That was her claim to fame.
What was your mother's name?
Her name was Terry Fisher as well. Actually, my name was Terry Fisher, and then she changed hers to be mine. She liked my first name.
Oh, so she...
Well, except that she was singing all before she was married, so she was...
That's true. She was
Terry
Harwin.
Yeah,
okay.
And then named Terry Fisher.
Your dad was Carl Fisher, and Carl, I believe, if I recall, was Frankie Lane's musical arranger?
Yes, he was his conductor and arranger, and he also was a songwriter. He wrote a couple of standards that some people might remember. You've Changed is one. We'll Be Together Again is another one. And It Started All Over Again. That was a big one during the early 50s, was it, Carol?
No, I think in
the
40s.
Kay Kaiser, I think, recorded it, and it was a big hit. And that's where we come from.
Now we know where the talent came from, obviously. Carl was the piano player on Pee Wee Hunt's huge number one hit called 12th Street Rag.
Yeah, and we just found that out a few years ago when we were talking to you.
That's right.
We had no idea about that.
Of course, I may have just made up the whole story and you believed it, but yeah.
Hope not.
But let's just hear a little bit of Carl Fisher's piano playing on that recording. Wow. I am impressed. Terry, I bet you wish hearing that you had kept up with the piano lessons.
Yeah, we both wish we had.
Yeah.
That is phenomenal. That's a great recording. I'm Ronnie Allen talking with the mermaids, namely Mermaid Terry and Mermaid Carol.
Yes.
And before we play your big hit record, we want to acknowledge that the third mermaid was a girl named Sally Gordon.
Correct.
And did she swim upstream after these?
We met her in high school. I think Terry was in choir with her. And when the producer came to us about making this record, he said he wanted a vocal trio. So my sister just picked out somebody from choir, and she chose Sally. And so while the group was together for the short period of time that it was with Sally. And then I think Terry and Sally graduated high school. And we all kind of went our separate ways. I was just in junior high at the time. We haven't seen Sally in many, many years. Yeah.
We wish her well wherever she
That's
is. We'll say a little shout out to Sally. How did the Mermaids come about?
We were doing some backup vocals for a couple of people, and actually a particular day we were doing some backup vocals for a fellow named Mike. At that time his name was Mike Postel, and it became Mike Post, if you know who Mike Post is.
Oh, yeah.
Written probably every
TV show themes and stuff like that.
Anyway, we were doing some backup vocals. There was somebody there who heard us and basically said, you want to make a record? And we said, okay. And that's when he said, you know, I want to do a vocal trio, because the girl groups were in their heyday at the time. This was the early 60s. He just brought us a song, what, like a week later, something, Terry?
Yeah, right. And about three weeks after that, we were in the studio recording it.
Yep.
Was the label Chattahoochee Records connected with, was that the label you were going to record for? Or?
Yes. Well, we didn't know anything. I mean, at that point, he just said, we'll go in the studio when you have it arranged, which was like just a few weeks later. His name was Kim Fowley. He's famous or infamous, whichever
he's like. He's made a name for himself, certainly, in the business. So Kim Fowley, was he the one that found the song Popsicles in High School?
Yes. The story, from the way we understand it, was that Kim met David Gates. I don't know if he was a neighbor, Terry.
He was a neighbor of Kim.
Yeah, and he was looking for a song, and David said, well, I've got a song. And then he brought us the song. And
so
that was it. Yeah.
Popsicles and icicles. How come you're Mermaids, M-U-R, instead of M-E-R?
We have no idea.
Because that's how it came out on the label. because we did not pick the name. We didn't know any, you know, we just went in, recorded the song, and
did what they told us to do,
yeah. And
that was it.
That was it. So you were mermaids. They made it a U. When you recorded it, did you have the name of the group?
No.
So you, in other words, you didn't know what they were going to even call you. You made the record, and then you found out after you made the record that you were going to be the mermaids. If your name is Fisher, maybe there is kind of connection. Fish and mermaids.
Yeah, that's kind of a stretch.
Ocean stretch, yeah. One of the interesting things about popsicles and icicles is the fact that nobody could really decide what the flip side should be.
And nobody asked us to do the flip side.
Did you know you're in the Guinness Book of World Records?
I think we probably should be. Okay,
you
Ronnie.
Be.
You know how many side Bs there were?
At least four, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, four.
One of them was Kensington Square or something. I forget what the title.
Huntington Flats.
Oh, right. Okay, so I had the wrong location. I was close.
I was close.
Huntington Flats.
Yeah.
All right, what were the others?
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear was not one of them, right?
Oh, that was not one of them. I don't remember the names of them. They were all instrumentals.
They were all instrumentals, yeah.
I'm Ronnie Allen, and I'm so happy to be talking with Terry Fisher and Carol Fisher. They are the mermaids. All right, you had an album out called Popsicles and Icicles, and I picked out a song that I really like called Why Did I Fall in Love So Young? What can you tell me about that song?
That was just one they said, here's another song.
Oh, okay. I love it when there's a great story attached to it. Well, make up a story.
They were so young at the time.
Yes.
And they found this song that talked about young people, so how about that?
Great, that's fine. Okay. That's perfect. Why did I fall in love so young? That's a rhetorical question you don't have to answer. At any rate, one of my favorite recordings from the 50s was by the Shepherd Sisters. You talk about the girl group sound. They did a great recording of a song called Alone, and you did a recording of Alone. Anything you can recall about this recording session?
Let's see. We were alone
song?
When we...
How many days did we do the whole album in one session?
I think we did.
Yeah.
It was so fast.
Oh, so it's a blur. Everything is
kind of... Well, so here's the thing. Of course, it was many years ago. Old, of course. We never heard that album. I mean, they never released it, and we didn't hear it until how many years ago,
About
6 years ago. A fan gave it to us. We didn't even know it had been released.
Well, it must have been released somewhere.
Well, it was released Oh, probably, what, 10 years ago?
Okay, but I mean, wasn't it originally released as an LP somewhere?
Never, no.
Never?
Never released.
No. In other words, collectibles put this together, but it was never really an LP.
As far as we know, there was never an LP. Correct. I think by the time collectibles put it out, it was either on tape or CD.
It was on CD.
So what they did was they took a lot of the masters, they somehow got a hold of the
yes.
masters on Chattahoochee, because
right.
you were still connected with Chattahoochee, and they kind of put them together and created something that had not existed before.
Yes.
That is interesting. One of the songs from the album that did not really exist was this one. These are The Mermaids and Alone. That was Alone by The Mermaids. You did actually have a follow-up single to Popsicles and Icicles.
Yes,
before.
Yeah, Heartbreak Ahead.
It sounded a little bit like Popsicles and Icicles Part 2.
No, it sounded a lot like Popsicles and Icicles.
Did you have any reservations about releasing it for that reason?
Well, you say that.
Am I creating problems here? I mean, maybe you had no problems.
We had no creative control. Well, you keep thinking that we could make a decision, and the answer was no. Well, not that we could make a decision, but nobody asked us to make a decision.
All right. Well, let me put it to you this way: even not being able to make a decision, did you have any apprehensions about it? Just did you say,
we did.
That sounds like the other one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
we did. Yeah.
I decided I would put two songs between Popsicles and this one just so that people don't think it's a continuation of the same song.
Right.
So right now, ladies and gentlemen, this was the actual follow-up to Popsicles and Icicles. This is Heartbreak Ahead, The Mermaids.
Won't they be surprised?
group didn't stay together all that long. By the time that record I just played came out, Heartbreak Ahead, I think you were just about to split up or had split up.
Yeah, that was the end of the Mermaids.
Why? What happened?
In those days, the groups didn't get paid too often, if they got paid at all. And we had a little problem with the record company. Didn't want to pay us.
I'm glad it was just a little problem.
Yeah.
You're being diplomatic. I know you're being diplomatic. You didn't get into a new tax bracket after...
Not hardly. No, and that was the end of it. It lasted about 6 months. We did about 2 live performances. We recorded a single and an album, and that was the end of it.
Did you do any TV shows?
We did. Did we do the Lloyd Batson show?
Yeah.
I believe we did, which was local here at the time. And I think that's it. We never got to do Bandstand, unfortunately.
Gee.
They did feature the song, though, but we never did get to perform there. So that was too bad. It just kind of...
Disappeared.
Yeah, disappeared. And we weren't really pushing it either because, we were just kids and our mother was kind of taking the role of manager. The record became huge and so every record company was calling, Capitol and all of them at the time. And she, of course, was turning them down because she wanted to stay loyal to this small record company. And it turned around that ended up to be a mistake, But whatever. I mean,
We went on with our lives and
that was it.
We didn't give it a whole bunch of thought.
All right, we do want to point out one thing. This is kind of a caveat. There are some Mermaids LPs out there that are not you. What should we call them? Phony Mermaids? I don't know what we would call them.
Imposter.
Okay. The real Mermaids were the two of you.
Correct.
And one other person, whoever that person may be. In the old days, it was Sally Gordon, and recently you have a new one. We're going to get to her, in fact, right now. Now, for many years, you did not perform as the Mermaids.
That's right. Now, this is Carol. Terry went on to have a solo career for a long time.
Right.
And I didn't. And we...
Carol was at home raising little musicians.
That's right.
Oh, good for you.
When was it, Terry? About 9 years ago now?
Nine or ten years ago.
A friend of hers was opening up like a nostalgic record store and knew that Terry was involved with this song, and he said, well, would you come to the store and sign autographs? So she called me and said, come on, Carol, come with me. And I said, no, nobody's going to be there. I don't want to do this. She said, oh, please. I said, oh, okay. So we went to the store, and, there were lots of people there that were quite interested in the song and us and people telling us all kinds of things about us.
We never knew about the record, and we didn't. They knew more about us than we did.
So at that point in time, we thought, this is kind of fun. Maybe we should get the group back together. So that's what we did.
You kind of got inspired and decided that at some point you were going to record a brand new CD called The Mermaids Splash Back. What a creative title that is. And you have some great musicians here. John Morrell.
Yes.
John is related to you, Carol.
That would be my husband.
And Dave Parmeter, bass.
Yes.
Did I pronounce him right?
That's pretty good. Parmeter.
Oh, okay.
Very close.
You're so good. Yeah, that's what they say to me. Oh, that's right. Very close, Ronnie. That's good. Frank Zottoli?
Oh, that's a good one. Zottoli.
Mexican
boy.
he played the piano.
Yes, he does.
And Justin Morrell.
Yes, that would be my son.
Okay, he's the drums and guitar solos. And you got to watch Justin because he plays the drum and guitar at the same time. Drumstick in one hand and the guitar in the other hand. And he's strumming and drumming at the same time. And you got some great songs on here. And the website is called?
www.themermaids.com, and that's T-H-E-M-U-R-M-A-I-D-S. And the deal is you have to go to the address. You have to type it in on the address line because we have an old website that we can't seem to get rid of. So if you, put that in a search engine,
Oh.
So you got to type in the address to get the new, updated, really good new website that has all the current information.
I know what you're talking about. And let me just point out that I have visited your website, and it has some great personal pictures of your families and everything. It is a wonderful website.
Thank you.
And people can find out about the CD on that website, the new one.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
I want to point out just a few of the other tracks that are on this CD, your renditions of One Fine Day and Sea Cruise. You also do a very creative Elvis medley, also on the CD, Yesterday and Obladee Oblada. You really love the Beatles, obviously.
Yeah, we do.
But you also do Here, There, and Everywhere. Mm-hmm. Blackbird. Who is the newest mermaid in the group?
Newest mermaid is Susie Robertson, and she's fantastic.
We just
have such a good time with her. One of the nice things is she's our age, and we relate to each other real well. We sit around like cackling hens, and we laugh and have a good time as well as sing. But she's terrific.
What are you doing these days besides talking to me right now over the air? I mean, in terms of performing.
In L.A., we do some things every now and then. We do parties and
fairs local events.
And then 4 or 5 times a year, we do doo-wop concerts at various places around the country. And as a matter of fact, we have one coming up April 19th, and that is in Worcester, Massachusetts, which I believe is very close to Boston, put on by a group called Yesterday's Legends. So that should be fun.
All the information's on the website. I think the Mechanics Hall is the name of the theater,
right,
but that's in Massachusetts.
Terry and Carol, thank you so very much. I wish the two of you and Susie as well continued success. We're going to close with your rendition of a song originally done by Bobby Day and eventually done also by Michael Jackson. And this is your take on Rockin' Robin. Say goodnight, Ronnie.
Goodnight, Ronnie.
That's the show. Now a couple of bonus tracks by the Mermaids. I got to be honest with you, I hardly understand any of the words in this particular recording, but maybe you can make them out. This was from 1964, and it's called Bull Talk.
Bible.
Maybe if you're a bull, you could understand what that's all about, but Ronnie can't. Going to move from the ridiculous to the sublime for our final bonus track, by the Mermaids. It's from their recent CD called The Mermaids Splash Back. This is another great song written by David Gates, and he recorded it with Bread. These are the Mermaids doing If.